The fourth case of the day for argument is United States v. Marty. Mr. Smirlinski.
Good morning, Your Honors. Ostner, Blom, Easterbrook. My name is Jasper Linsky. I represent Beverly Marty. I have just one single issue for the court on review on appeal, and it centers around the determination of the reasonable amount of OxyContin that my client would have distributed while maintaining a place to do so. I want to point out just up front that my client did in fact plead guilty to the charge. And so the reason why I'm here today specifically centers around computations of those drug amounts under the federal sentencing guidelines. The court found, the Honorable Judge Crabb, that she had or would be responsible for a level 28, that is 400 to 700 kilograms of marijuana equivalent. And, Your Honors, our contention is very simple here. We are just saying that there's not a sufficient indicia
of reliance. Your argument was that the government had gone back on its deal with you.
That is part of our argument, Your Honor.
Well, you just said you had a single issue and you didn't mention this, so what's happened to this issue?
Thank you, Your Honor. Specifically, the argument as it relates to what I'm trying to bring before the court is this. We had an agreement with the government that was basically saying it was a level 26. Thank you, Your Honor. We did go ahead and execute that plea agreement prior to the sentencing. At the sentencing, what happened is the government basically said that they didn't believe there was a basis for that plea agreement. And so what happened then is that the court went ahead and did its determination of what it felt the drug amount was. You're quite right. That's the troubling part of this case. I think it indicates that there was somewhat of a meeting of the minds between defense counsel and the government as to
What the government said, what the agreement says, is that based on present information, they think it was 400 or whatever, but then the pre-sentence investigation is conducted afterwards. Now, did that come up with new evidence?
I don't believe there was any new evidence, Your Honor.
Are you saying that the government broke its agreement?
That is part of our contention, yes.
Well, then why aren't you asking to have the plea agreement vacated?
Our opinion on this...
If your argument was they violated the agreement, that excuses your, you know, compliance, your performance, which was the plea of guilty, so why aren't you asking to vacate the plea?
Your Honor, the reason why we didn't want to vacate the plea is as simple as this. My client is maintaining that she's responsible for a level 26. This is an argument based purely on the amount of time that she's going to do.
Well, this issue about the government's breaking its agreement, that's actually completely irrelevant to your argument.
I think
your argument is simply that Judge Crabb made an erroneous finding. The fact that the government went back, according to you, you know, reneged, that's irrelevant, right? Your argument?
I wouldn't say it's irrelevant, Your Honor.
What's its relevance?
It only points out to the fact to a reviewing court that there was some basis for what we're asking for. That is the level 26. That's the only relevance it has. I agree with you. Outside of that, Your Honor, it has no other relevance. You're absolutely right. But if I could basically point out the two major areas that were ignored in Judge Crabb's finding. Specifically, she does not account for any other sources of monies coming into an account because the court discounts any kind of determination on drug amounts through CIs or CSs, confidential informants. And so it basically takes a bank account and takes those funds in the account, does a price per pill analysis, and we come up with an amount. And what I'm saying is, first off, I think the court errs in taking the right figure to begin with. Secondly,
counsel, the prosecutor says that at the sentencing hearing, you represented that 1,400 pills would be the logical amount. And the judge then just took the amount that the defense proposed. Is that accurate?
I don't think that is accurate, Your Honor. In fact, I argued specifically at the sentencing that the plea agreement amount should be enforced because the court was not taking into account the period where she would have distributed. She was receiving prescriptions from 2003 to 2005, and the CSs said that they were purchasing within a window in there. And so specifically, I was asking, and that was the basis for the plea for level 26. So I don't believe that I represented that amount was what the court should find. I think what I represented in the final analysis was that she had distributed between 400 and 700 kilogram of equivalent, that is, of marijuana equivalent.
Forget marijuana. Let's just focus on the number of pills.
Okay.
I mean, the prosecutor actually quoted some language. So it's misquoted from what's in the record?
No, Your Honor. That's not my recollection of what I would have represented to the court. I thought that I made clear at sentencing that our position was it should be lower.
What significance could the district judge give to the fact that when the search warrant was executed, the agents found 16 empty bottles that had held 450 pills each, which is more than five times what your client was held accountable for?
I agree, Your Honor. But the court also made...
That's just what was there when they executed the warrant.
What she did, though, she saved her prescription pills from when she was taking her medication. This is a person who was addicted to the OxyContin, Your Honor. And that's integral within our argument that there was personal use of that substance. So that's why we're saying that it wasn't the 9,800 pills, I think, that would come up 16 bottles, but rather we're suggesting that was an amount far less than that. So that forms a basis, at least for our claim on that. We think that if you take a look at the record and you take a look at exactly what was entered into, that is by way of the agreement only, just for purposes of pointing out what the parties were intending that level to be, we're asking that the court would find that level 26. Obviously, with 3-point reduction, she'd be looking at a lower guideline range. So specifically, that is our argument. If there's any other questions, I'd be more than happy to take them now. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smirlewski. Mr. Giroux.
Please, the court, counsel. I was not the attorney below. I was the attorney on appeal. The contention
is that
by
for the purposes of speaking to whether representation made by Mr. Smirlewski?
No, I'm aware of the record. I need to make that clear in case there's questions about the record below.
You've gone over the record below.
Absolutely, sir.
All right. So.
The contention is, and the argument by the defense attorney at the sentencing and their objections to the pre-sentence report indicated that the correct amount of pills would be 1,379. That was submitted to the pre-sentence writer. The pre-sentence writer adopted that as the correct calculation, and then the district court adopted that as the correct calculation. The defendant can't contend, and there really is no contention, that the court's determination of 1,379 pills was somehow incorrect, because that's the number that the defendant came up with based upon the illegitimate deposits into the bank account. The issue here, and the only issue, is whether or not the court was in error. That is the issue that the defendant raised, whether there was clear error in the district court's determination of 1,379 pills as the amount. The government agreed not to stipulate that the drug amount was level 26. The agreement with the defense attorney was that the government would recommend a OxyContin equivalent of 100 to 400 kilograms of marijuana. At the time the sentencing, the pre-sentence report came out, there was no objection to that amount calculated by the pre-sentence report, which was much higher, because the government had no basis or could not determine exactly what was the basis for that 100 to 400 kilogram marijuana equivalent. At the sentencing, the government indicated, we went back and tried to determine, and I went back personally and tried to determine. We searched the files and we went back in the office to try to determine how did the allegation or the recommendation for 100 to 400 kilograms come up, and couldn't be located. The prosecutor below indicated that we couldn't make that determination. We'll stand by the agreement, but we don't know. This is not a case where the government's saying, hey, here's evidence of something else.
Well, you skip by it in a rather weak feeble way, saying that you had no reason to think the pre-sentence report was inaccurate, which was an invitation to the judge to base the sentence on that rather than on the agreement.
Well, again, the court accepted the defendant's calculation. At best, in the best scenario, it would have been looking at two competing alternatives. And by choosing one of the alternatives, there can't be clear error, because both presumably would be reasonable, even
see,
in the best
you
of scenarios.
Is, I do note that it, that's the plea agreement, does say, based on the information we had, and I don't see any error in the pre-sentence report. But what you didn't say was that there was new information in the pre-sentence report.
Right, Your Honor, and that is why the government stuck with its agreement
recommend it. But is there new evidence in the pre-sentence report? The fact that you lost your records doesn't show that there's anything new in the pre-sentence report.
That is correct. It's not clear what, if anything, could be characterized as new evidence. It's rather that the calculation that was done, if there was any new evidence, was simply the amounts that were presented by Mr. Smolinski that reduced it from the initial calculation that there was $70,000 of illegitimate income down to the $55,000 that Mr. Smolinski suggested to the court, which was eventually adopted. The question of the government's recommendation to the court relies not on sort of a breach of the agreement. There is no breach of the agreement, as Mr. Smolinski is saying. He's saying simply that the court should have followed the recommendation. The problem comes because the government couldn't supply its basis for that recommendation, but it didn't renege on the agreement, nor did the government somehow present an alternative theory of saying, hey, oh, but here's let me backtrack totally. Let me show you all this evidence. And, oh, by the way, we will stick with our agreement. The record adequately supports the court's determination of 1,379 pills. Again, that was supplied by the defendant, and there really
is
no...
Well, are you saying that the only issue is not the number of pills, but their translation into marijuana equivalents?
No. No. The recommendation by the government could have been written more artfully, certainly by indicating the number of pills and then talking about the marijuana equivalent of those pills. But instead, the plea agreement was written just to indicate what the eventual marijuana equivalent would have been. As I stated, the defendant isn't arguing that the district court's sentence was an error, since that is the number they suggested. Rather, they're arguing that the court should have adopted an alternative or a different sentence. It was a non-binding recommendation. The government stood by that part of the agreement, even if it couldn't supply the exact details for that recommendation. And as a result, the court's finding on the drug amount is supported by the record, and this court the government would certainly respectfully request this court to affirm the court's judgment and conviction.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jaros. Mr. Smolinski?
Your Honor, thank you. I think I've made my points. I don't need to further.
All right. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.